once again on a Sunday morning. My name is John Ross. I come from Farnham. I'm a retired pastor, and we've been working our way through Matthew's Gospel here on Sunday mornings in December. Just before we look at the text, some of you very kindly prayed for Daphne and I on Wednesday. We had our neighbours in for mulled wine and mince pies. We told them on the invitation that Santa was unable to come to our house, but the rector was going to come instead and tell us about the baby. And nine neighbours gathered. Two had to leave a little early, and so seven stayed to hear the rector talk about the baby. He was superb. He's an evangelical man who's been in the town just 2 years. He's a very, very good man. And he was just, it was almost like a chat, almost like a just sitting around the fire talking. It was absolutely splendid. People got into conversation with him. He could move easily by telling his own story and the birth of his first child, straight on to the birth of Jesus and what the child would grow up to be. Who knows what children will grow up to be was one of the points he made. But think of this child and what he grew up to be. And then he told his conversion at university. He said, when I was 18 and went up to university, I had never connected the story of Christmas and Jesus with his death and resurrection. And for the first time, I put the whole story together and thought, this is the man who is born to be king. This is the man who's going to die on the cross for our sins. He said, I was religious. I was brought up in a religious home, but I'd never connected the whole story from birth to death to resurrection. It was just a great evening. And one neighbour has said to us, you must come and speak to us again. Someone said to Daphne and I must ask you questions about God. So these are just the people that we live around. We've lived there for 16 years. And the people we are most grateful that you pray for with us. Thank you. But when you ask around to people who are not religious, what do you make of Christmas, maybe even religious people, most people say it's a very nice story. They like the story. Most people would say it's ideal for children, ideal for the kids. Christmas is for children. There's some great poems written like that. It's very good for nativity plays. It's very helpful for grandparents to go and smile at their children at nativity plays. But behind it, the question I think they're asking is it true? Is it true? And the assumption is it's probably not. It's probably not. It's probably on a par with other various fables that we know around Christmas time. Well, that's not how the Gospel writers saw it. The two Gospel writers in particular give us the major contribution to the birth of Jesus. Matthew, we've seen from a Jewish perspective, from a genealogy perspective, through the line of the Father, to get us to Jesus. And Luke, which we haven't looked at, but we will look at on Christmas morning, Luke is writing normally to Gentiles, we think. And he tells about the shepherds who get there very quickly. Now, just think of the visitors that came. The shepherds, they were the outcasts of society. They were unwelcome at the temple. They could rear the sheep on the hills, but they could not take them into the temple for sacrifice. Matthew, writing, as we've said, for mainly Jews, he tells the story of the non-Jewish group who come to worship Jesus. These highly esteemed, what we think are astronomers, who come to worship Jesus. In fact, Matthew says very little about the actual birth. If you look at the text, he ends chapter 1. Well, it's been broken up for us, so chapter 1 ends. Joseph has woken from his dream. He takes Mary as his wife. He has no sexual intercourse with her until she gives birth to the son, and he calls him Jesus. That's about all Matthew tells us about the birth. He then goes on in 2:1 to tell us that after Jesus was born, which could be up to 2 years, because we know that Herod wants to kill children under two, after 2 years, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the days of Herod the king, and the wise men come into the story. So Matthew just gives us the basic facts. She gave birth to a son, and Joseph gave him the name Jesus, showing Joseph to be an honourable man. He's done what the angel told him to do, to marry her and to call him Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Luke and Matthew highlight the fact that it's not to faithful Jewish people that the Messiah is first seen, but to outsiders, shepherds on the one hand, outcasts, and here with Matthew, wise men. non-Jews. Now just think of that. The birth of Jesus is seen by outsiders, non-Jewish people, or if we may say so, non-kosher in the case of the shepherds. In fact, Matthew seems to go out of his way to show that the outsiders get to Jesus before insiders do. So the text says in verse 2, they're asking the question, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have come to worship him. We saw his star when it rose and would have come to worship him. To worship him. The wise men know exactly what they're looking for. And so they ask their question. They'd heard about the King of the Jews. They knew that stars appeared when a new king was announced. This was part of their culture. We think it was probably Persian culture. The Jewish people too knew just a little about their expected Messiah, the Christ. They knew the prophets. So when Herod inquires of his chief priests and scribes, you see in verse 4, when he asks them where the Christ is to be born, they know where to go. They know to go to Micah chapter 5. They know to go that he's going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. That's what was written by the prophet. And they quote the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you're no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." They know the scriptures. The chief priests know the scriptures. Now, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that the Jewish people would have said, well, if that's the case, and these wise men are asking, why don't we get there quickly? You would have thought that they would have made a dash to Bethlehem, wouldn't you? But that's the stupidity of religion for you. Religion knows the truths. But that's all it knows. Religion doesn't act on the truths. Religion isn't motivated to worship King Jesus. Religion just knows the truths. Now, I think it's great to learn scripture. I think it's great to memorize scripture. But I think the downside is that we think that's enough. It's not enough, is it? It's not enough. It's not enough. That's the shock for the story. The religious people do nothing. They know the scriptures, they do nothing. It's amazing, isn't it? They do not act on what they know. And I want to suggest that that can be true of many, many of us, many a time. We read the scriptures, maybe it's out of routine. We might even remember the scriptures, what they say, but we don't always follow through. So Matthew emphasizes for us that it's the wise men, the foreigners, who are sent to do the investigative work. See that in verses 7 and 8? Herod summons the wise men. He finds out from them what time the star appears, and he sent them. They went on Herod's orders to go and find the child. Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found me, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. I don't know how true that is, that he wants to really worship him, but that's what he says. That's what he says. Well, I want us to join the wise men on their journey this morning. I want to ask three important questions to the wise men, which I think the story will help us answer. My first question is knowing enough? Is knowing enough? I want to ask the wise men directly, if you don't mind me talking to them. So, wise men, or as we sometimes call you, wise men three, but we don't know how many of you there are. You know all about special stars, don't you? You follow them. You know about this particular star. And somehow this particular star leads you to Jerusalem. I know you're clever scientists. You're called wise men. So you ask a wise question. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Wise people like you always ask questions, don't they? And you hear an answer from the Jewish scholars. You hear the answer that the Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem. So you wisely continue your search, don't you? But may I ask you, is knowing the place where Jesus is to be born sufficient? Now, we know the answer to the question because Matthew tells us it's clearly not sufficient. For the Jews know where he's going to be born. They know the prophecy that it comes from in Micah, where he's going to be born. But you wise men, being wiser than some of these Jewish people, you actually go and look for yourselves, don't you? You've come a long way to look. In fact, Herod encourages you to look. He sends you on your search. But let me ask you again, is knowing the place sufficient? I think I know what your answer would be. You would say no. No, it's not merely arriving there that's sufficient. We need to investigate further. And I think that's true for all people, isn't it? Merely knowing the facts, even knowing the story inside out, is not sufficient for us. I mean, there are many, many clever people in the world who know lots and lots of facts. But what does that mean? Where does it lead to? Are you wise by just knowing facts? We need to look for ourselves. We need some experiential understanding. We need to check things out. It's not enough merely to know and refuse to act. So, wise men, let me ask you a second question. Is seeking enough? Is that what you've come to do? To seek out this one? You want to seek out the King of the Jews? Because that freaks Herod out, you know. To think that there might be another rival king to Herod, that really is really bothersome. Look what Matthew says in verse 3. When Herod heard this, that they've come to worship the King of the Jews, he was troubled. It's really a mild word. It means disturbed, really, really confused and upset. And all Jerusalem with him. See, when Herod was troubled, the whole city was troubled. Yes, he may well be worried, but so too was the whole city. Because Herod's terror frightens everyone. Herod is a serious tyrant, as you wise men probably know. But you wise men, you press on, don't you? You meet Herod. You're given orders to make a careful search for the child. Yes, true, Herod says he wants to come and worship him. But isn't that Matthew's wonderful irony? Herod the King of the Jews, worshipping another King of the Jews? Never! Isn't that the truth, though? You see, Herod isn't really a genuine seeker, is he? You wise men are. But is your search sufficient? Is seeking enough? I don't think so. For although the prophecy said Bethlehem was the place where he would be born, you had no road name or house number, did you? So God, in his goodness, provided you with a star sign, which stopped just at the right place. It's always been a puzzle to me, by the way, in the story, why the star didn't take them all the way to the house without going via Jerusalem. It's always been a puzzle. I don't know whether the star even guided them, or whether the maps they looked at said, oh, capital city, let's go for Jerusalem. And that's when they started asking. But the star takes them to the right place at the end. That's verse 9, isn't it? After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. So knowing wasn't enough. Even arriving at the right destination is insufficient. It seems you wise men have to knock on the door and look for yourself. Is seeking enough? No. What about finding? You find the child. Is finding enough? Let me ask you that question. Well, it does seem so, doesn't it? For guided by the star, they arrive at the exact front door. You knock and you enter. Is that enough, Mr. Wise Men? Well, almost, you say, almost. You see, we do meet the child and the child's mother. There's no mention of father here, by the way. Perhaps he's gone out to get the milk for the morning. Who knows? Verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Yes, there you are. You meet the child and you meet Mary. But are you there? Are you there, wise men? You may have found the right place. You may have found the right child. But is that enough? Is that enough? You're faced with a babe and a mum. Is that it? You see, our friends can say a lot about Jesus, can't they? They can nod along with us to the sweet carols. They come in their flocks to carol services. But are they really Christian yet? You see, however much one investigates, and one should, and however much we find, we have to reach a conclusion about Jesus. Knowing the facts, seeking and finding is still insufficient. More is required. And you, O wise ones, you know exactly what it is, don't you? For you do what many of us who know more facts do not do. You fall down and you worship him, don't you? Look at verse 11 again. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they, this is a sort of tautology, it's written twice, and they fell down, which is what worship means, and worshipped him. See, it's emphasized. They bow down, which is what worship means, and they worship him. In other words, they give him all the honor. We are your servants, you are the king. Now, Mr. Wiseman, may I ask you, why should we think your worship was real? Why is your worship not just for show? Why is your worship not fake, like someone like Herod's? Oh, I see. Because of the expensive gifts you brought. Not just bought in the gift shop in Bethlehem, eh? You brought them all the way, did you? Very, very expensive gifts. Gifts fit for a king. Are you telling us, then, Mr. Wiseman? Are you telling us that when you find Jesus for yourself, you lay down your money and your possessions and you give up everything for him? Are you saying, Lord Jesus, take these gifts, please? Indeed, take my life, please. You are worthy of everything that I own and I am. Yes, I think, Mr. Wiseman, that's what I think you mean, isn't it, when you worship him? In other words, knowing about Jesus, as I'm sure most of us do, is not enough. And seeking after Jesus, as many of us may well be this Christmas time, is still insufficient. We must actually find Jesus for ourselves. We must come to a conclusion about him. Did he really exist, is one thing we have to ask. Is this history or make-believe? Is he God in human form? The Son of God? Or just an impostor? And even when we come to a correct assessment of him, can we leave it just at that? We must either admire him at a distance and say, oh, that's well and good, I'll clock it up on my factual computer, Jesus was a real man, conceived rather miraculously, lived pretty well and perfectly, died unnecessarily, and then he beat death. So what? That happened 2 millennia ago. It's nothing to do with me. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, no, it doesn't. Actually, it does. It does. It does. If he was the actual Son of God here on earth, then he can't be ignored, can he? He'll catch up with us in the end, won't he? So we must respond to him in the only proper way, mustn't we? We should all bow down and worship Jesus as king. Yes, we must do what the wise men did. We must bow down and worship him. Now, I think for many of us who are older, who've heard this story numerous times, who've watched children perform their nativities, this is one of the hardest things for us Westerners to do. To humble ourselves and to accept another king rather than ourselves, and to hand over control of our lives to King Jesus. Personally, I think it's slightly easier to do when you're younger. I think it gets harder as the years go on. But as you know, nothing else will give you greater joy than finding and honouring the Christ child, God's Son, who's actually come to earth to seek you out. You might have thought all along that you were seeking him. You might have thought that you were investigating and probing. You might have thought you were checking him out. But what you may not have known is that all along he was seeking you out. And when he found you, you turned round and embraced him. He was exactly what you were looking for. No one else is so true. No one else is so loving. No one else is so forgiving. No one else is so brilliant. No one else gives such inner joy and peace that overwhelms us and causes us to worship him. No Jew would ever worship another Jewish man. Now look at these wise men in verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly. See, they didn't even know Mr. Kipling and his cakes, did they? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. In other words, they were truly, truly overwhelmed. That's what it means. So the natural thing for them to do was to fall down and worship. And that's when they started opening their presents. Presents fit for a king, the most beautiful king. The king who would sacrifice his life for them. No wonder people sing at Christmas, "Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." We thought about this carol service last weekend, and I had a little booklet, there might still be a few more left, called The Greatest Person, which tells you all about Jesus. That little booklet, written by a doctor friend of mine, says this is no fairy story, this is certainly not myth, it's not legend, this is real, true, accurate history. There were witnesses. It's recorded for us to see, and it's designed so that we might be drawn into genuine worship of King Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God in heaven, please help us to read the Christmas story as true history, to see the events which really occurred, all for a purpose. And just as the wise men made their search and came to the conclusion that they had found the Son of God in Bethlehem, just as they brought their expensive gifts and bowed down to him, will you please help us to do the same? Please, please help us. We find it so hard to bow down to anyone. We are so proud. But this year, please humble us. Humble us at the feet of Jesus, the Son of God. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The last carol takes us to Bethlehem.